For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Be seated. Well, we sang there, Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. And that's a prayer, is it not? And in the day in which we live, we have a great need for God's wisdom in those which are in office and leading. We need wisdom as a church to reach generations that we are not reaching at the moment. We need his leading and his guiding. And he says that if you lack wisdom, any one of you, let him ask and God will give. And with that, we're going to come then to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. We're thankful that we can come to you, most gracious Heavenly Father, and that we come to one who is so free in giving and has been so faithful and has blessed us with every spiritual gift in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this day we want to thank you, O Lord, that you are the God who has come to us with such wisdom and such prudence, and of your working and your ways that you have had in our personal lives. We acknowledge this moment the way, Father, you've led us and guided, the way you've sustained and you have brought. Well, if you be seated this morning, and if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs this morning. Just want to share with you for one last time this thought. We've been considering what it is to do something pleasing to God, what God delights in. Now, I know this morning that you carry many burdens, and I know there are issues that you have and questions that you'd like answered. I'm well aware that we've got needs, and there are needs out in the world that we need to address, but if just for a moment we could just forget about ourselves, just for a moment, and for a moment even for the needs which are out there, and just for one last time to think upon this, think upon what is really pleasing to God. And you know, there's not anything more significant for us to consider in our lives. And I tell you, there's a reason for this. Perhaps some of you came across a statement that was made a number of years ago in one of these big churches that went like this, that said, worship is not about him, it's not about God, but it's got to do with us. And when you come to a place of worship and you've come to that point, you know, you begin to think, is there not something we could do this morning that would be really pleasing in his sight? And you know, every single one of us here today, no matter who we are, no matter what our Christian life may be, even if it's been pretty poor, even though it may have gone the wrong direction, I would say to you, if you're a Christian this morning, do you know there is a pulse which beats deep in your soul? It may be faint, it may be irregular, but there is a pulse that does beat, that wishes in your life that you would do something and live in a way. And it would be something that would give great delight to God. We've all got that longing in our experience. And we know what the Bible says. The Bible tells us the trouble is we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that the best of our works, as we've looked in the Bible, tells us our worship is half-hearted, our prayers are wrong. Is there anything? And we looked at just these two things. Do you know, God was pleased in Jesus Christ. He was pleased with his Son. And he says these words, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And if you want to know of something that you would be pleasing to him today, hear him today as he speaks to you. And last week, there was something else. Do you know, even we ourselves, no matter how bad we are, which would give him great joy in heaven this morning, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. And if you say, how could I please God this morning? Well, I tell you, not anything would please him more in any congregation in the world than this. When someone comes to him and says, sorry, Lord, have mercy upon me, save me. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. There's not anything that would give him more joy in heaven than just coming to him in this place to say sorry. But there's one more thing this morning that gives him pleasure. It's found in the book of Proverbs. And one verse really, but there's two verses I'll read. One's from Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. This is what it says. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. And then this text, taken from Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 11. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. Now, it's only one verse, it's only a small verse, but I want you to know that it stands in this book of the Bible, which has a major portion, which is called the wisdom literature. When you open this book, it is made of different sections. It begins with the first five books of the law. Then you have the historical books. And then you come to these books of wisdom. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Songs, because the God who has made us is the wise God, and he has spoken wisdom into this world. And you can see the wisdom of God all around, but he's also spoken his wisdom in this word. And you know what Paul tells Timothy? He says, now since you were a child, you were taught the holy scriptures that were able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And when a person comes and reads this book, there is wisdom which is found in it that can bring you to salvation. Here's the text. My son, be wise and make my heart glad. Now, in life, there's one thing that you come to know, and it's just part of living, isn't it? Is that you come to realize how unwise we may have been. Has it dawned on you yet? Yes, the older you get, the more you realize how little that you knew. And every one of us in our experience has come to that awful realization, how foolish we have been. Even when we were doing our best, trying to do what was right, we fell flat on our face, we've caused great harm, we have fallen into sin, and at some times, let me say to you, it's like this. It's not even that we wanted to do wrong. There have been moments in our times, although we are sinners, there have been times in our lives we can actually say we've done wrong, we have sinned before God, and we've done it in such a way where we thought that we were being wise. I mean, it's an incredible experience, life. You know, you live life and you should get wiser. The longer you live, the more you realize you just wish, don't you? Don't you wish that you have the wisdom you've got now that you wish that you had it then when you were a young child? Oh, I wish I would. I tell you what. Don't you wish that the energy you had when you were younger, if it was only joined with the wisdom, and now what you've got, you find yourself, you're much wiser, but you don't have the energy or the strength. It's a powerful thing when the two come together. And you know what it's like, because the Bible tells us this, that you know foolishness can take us to a lost eternity. Jesus speaks of a man who built his many barns, and everybody must have thought he did well. And there's that verdict that God gives. You fool, this night your soul is required of you. Foolishness can take us to hell. But here's the word for us this morning. And remember now, it's a word that leads us to salvation. And we'll just take this now. Here it is in this verse. My son, be wise and make my heart glad. And if I could take that word, first of all, as speaking firstly, a word from God, it's a word of God, it's the word about his son, it's a word concerning his son, it's a word of Jesus. When you open this book, please don't think this morning that this book now is a prep lesson on how to live. Don't think this book, even the book of Proverbs, is a how-to-do book on what we need to do so much in our lives. The first thing of this book is this. It tells us about Jesus. Jesus has come to us. God speaks to us in these last days through his Son. And if you want to know Jesus this morning that can save you, well, here's one verse that can truly point to him. Of all the things that people point to about God, where's God? If I were God, does not God know this? God can see and how foolish he's been. No, no. When it comes to Jesus, people know that God is wise. There's something that cannot be denied. Do you remember that sermon 2 weeks ago? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And why was God so pleased with Jesus of Nazareth? Well, it's simply because of this. He is his son and he was wise. One of the distinctive characteristics of Jesus Christ, whatever you believe today about God, whether you're a believer or not, you cannot deny this. The wisdom of Jesus. They acknowledged it when he was born, when he was young. You find it there in Luke's Gospel, for example. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 40, speaking of Jesus growing, and the child grew and became strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And the Lord Jesus Christ was known when he was on this earth that the Spirit of God, of understanding, of knowledge, of counsel, of the fear of the Lord, and of might was upon him. You find it here in chapter 2, when he was there at 12 years of age, in the temple, with the leaders and the teachers of the day, reasoning with them, asking them questions, answering them. And he says this, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and the favor with God and with man. And the Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, even said of himself, there's one who stands among you who is greater than Solomon. And there's one who's come to this earth and there's none which is like him. Or word of God incarnate and wisdom from on high. And when you come to Jesus, it may dawn upon you one day as you read of his words, you can't help, as they thought, where did this man get his wisdom? 33 years old when he died, and he knew how to speak, the words to say. He could enter into every debate, understanding, and argument. You know today that after 2,000 years, in the universities of this world, people are still studying the very teachings and the words of Jesus Christ. Don't you find that fascinating? It was Sir Edward Arnold who said, and who was an authority on Buddhism, world-leading authority, said there was more wisdom in one sentence of the Sermon on the Mount and the whole that Buddha ever taught. Do you know that the very motto in Harvard University is to the glory of Christ, to the glory of Christ, hanging over their doors, the leading institutions and the things that people, you yourself, you can't help, can you? When you open the book and you read about Jesus, whatever your views, you read those words and you think, where did he get all that from? I tell you, of this verse, no wonder God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I delight, because there's no one else who has come and lived. My Son, be wise and make my heart glad. I could say to you today, please, look to Jesus. This book is able to make you wise unto salvation, that you put your trust in him. But there's something else about this word this morning, and obviously it is a word of proverb that speaks to us in our situation. For example, dealing as young people, great to see you here, I tell you, there's one thing about being a child and having children, and one thing every one of us does know in our own life, oh, what heartache, oh, what anxiety and trouble that we must have brought to our parents. You know the truth of that. The saying is like this, when they're young, their arm ache. When they're older, their heart ache. And so often in our lives, look, in one's life, there's no greater joy for those who've got children, first of all, is that your children do well. And they go on. And there's nothing more disappointing to you in your life than when things go bad. When a child begins to go wrong, causes you worry, goes the wrong direction. The tears, oh, the just sheer pain, and the rest of it. And we've all done it for our own parents. We know the road we took and how true that is in our lives. We just know it. Do you know the devil can get you through your children? That's how he brings you down a lot. But here's the proverb. But think of it like this. Not only now in our earthly journey, but if I could put it like this, as Jesus taught in the parable of the prodigal son. Do you remember? There was one who had to come to his senses, he said. When he was feeding the pigs, he had gone foolish and his mind had gone from him. And you know, in one sense, if we have brought heartache to our earthly parents, how much heartache have we brought to the Heavenly Father? And he's got a word for you this morning. You know, my child, my son, be wise and make my heart glad. Now listen, because of this, there's a way to heaven and there's a way to hell. It's always very simple in the Bible. There is a narrow way and there is a broad way. There are sheep and there are goats. But the Bible also describes it like this. There is a wise way and a foolish way. And the wise will shine like stars in the heavens. But the foolish are those which are cast out. And that's why God has a word for you. And he says to you, my child, oh, make your father glad, because there's not anything that creates great discomfort to any parent to see a child which is lost and a life which is lost and a life which is ruined. And when Jesus came on this earth, do you know what he taught? He taught this. He said, look, after teaching the Sermon on the Mount, he comes to the end and he says, now it's like this. There are two builders. One's building on the rock, who's the wise builder. One's building on the sand, who's the foolish builder. And it's like this. Whoever hears my word and does them is like a wise builder who builds his house on the rock. And when the storm comes and the flood comes, your house and your life will not collapse. But the most foolish builder got to be this. The one who hears the word of Jesus and does not put them into practice. And when the flood comes and it collapses, and great is its fall. I'll give you another little story that the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. He said, you know what it's like? It's like this. There are 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And you say, well, what was it about those 10 virgins? Well, they were all waiting for the bridegroom. They were waiting for the Messiah and the Lord Jesus Christ to come once again. And yet 5 of them, they were religious. They were there at their seats. They were looking. They had their lamps, but they had no oil in their lamps. And you could be like that this morning. You could be very religious. You could have all those good works. You could have everything that you're looking for. But you know you don't know of that new birth and the Holy Spirit within you. And you've got no oil in your lamp. And he says, you, the foolish virgins. And he came and the door was shut. You see, there's a way to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, he taught, did he not, of that man who had his great barns and he made his barns and he lived for this world and he had it all for him for many days. And then you've got this one word which Jesus Christ says you must never speak to anyone. Don't you ever call anyone a fool. Because that day, it's the judgment of Hades and of hell. Why? Because foolish people, they go to that place. You must not make that judgment. And then Jesus comes in that parable, and God said to him that night, "You fool, you fool. This night your soul was required of you." And you see, he says, "Oh, my son, make my heart glad and be wise." And be wise. Now, you say, well, okay, how can I be wise? Well, let me give it to you. Here it is. It's a wonderful verse, and you can turn to it. It's met in the gospel, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where we read, and it's the wonderful news is this, in verse 30, because this is what he wants. He wants this, a call to you. "My child, be wise and make my heart glad." Here it is. And it's spoken here to this church in Corinth. And in verse 30, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Now what happens is this, is that the Bible tells us on how we can really be wise. And when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he's writing to one of these kind of cities, which is like, I say, Cambridge or Oxford. It's one of those learning cities of the ancient world, Athens and Corinth and Rome. And there was very many people who thought themselves wise. But the Bible tells us the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And do you know this day that the wisdom of this world, as he tells us in these chapters, did not know God, but it pleased him through the foolishness of the message preached. There it is in verse 18. And then he tells us he's come to destroy the understanding of the prudent. You must listen. There's a way of being wise. I was only listening. I don't know if you listen to the financial report on the radio. I found it interesting. You know, you've got the top men, haven't you? Of all the countries and economies and statistics and the knowledge and the history. And this is what they've said. For our growth, just to tell you where we're going, this is what they tell us now, is that, you know, we've had a slump in growth and it's growing. But what they found now, from the boom of the 80s, you remember we had a great boom? They said, actually, when it panned out, that the boom of the 80s was exactly the same increase as the 20 years before. And since the 80s, the last 20 years have been exactly the same. And now what they're finding is this, no matter what they do, what they say, how bright they are, it doesn't change. It's exactly the same. And you say, where's the wisdom of this world? The wisdom of the world, he tells us here, through it, he says, they wanted to know God. In verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached." And you can go to your philosophers and to your scientists, and they don't have the answer. And you know what Paul says to these people? And he says, "Not to the wise, but to the foolish, you've become the wisdom of God." And when a person comes to Jesus Christ by faith and you believe in him, you become equals wisdom. You here who are in Christ Jesus, who become for us the wisdom of God. Let me put it like this. The cross of Jesus Christ slays the wisdom of this world. People think they are. You can never come to God through your reason. You can never come to God by your good works. You can never come to God by any form of religion. But you know, it's like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And a five-year-old child can hear that message, love, God, trust. And a five-year-old child can put their faith in Jesus and they know God in their heart and their life forever. And it confounds the mighty and the great of this world. And the cross of Jesus Christ tells us, you come to him now for your sins to be forgiven, and you have pardon which is with God. And you know the person, there are those of you here this day, you said, I came to Jesus. And you know what happened? I came to know God and be at peace with God. And there are people out there with far greater brains and understanding, but they don't know him. But when you come to Jesus, remember, he's the wisdom of God. You know that. You can read of it. Even you can understand that. And when you come to him, you become wisdom. You say, Chris, I'm not the wisest. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. I'm not the sharpest knife in the toolbox. Yeah, join the club. Join the club. Couldn't be more foolish than the one standing in front of you. But the best thing one has ever done, and the wisest decision one has ever made, is that moment when one came to the Lord Jesus. Put it like this, there are people with money in this world and they can't buy peace, but the Christian knows it in their heart. There are those out there looking and seeking for love in their lives, but the Christian has found that love with God. There are those this day, you are the wisdom of God in this. When people don't know God, you say, I know him. He made this world and he made me and he died on that cross and I know of life which is with him and he talks with me and I talk with him and I know him. And you've become, haven't you, the wisdom of God. Look, today, I would say to anyone, oh, my child, be wise and make my heart glad. But let me just apply this to us now in our Christian lives and our Christian experience. Because, you know, we can do, can't we, some real foolish things. We may have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but so often we can do things which are not really great, even as a church. I'm just going to read you this verse. I'm going to give you three applications. Here's the applications in Galatians chapter 1, 3, verse 1. They became Christians. They definitely became Christians. And then Paul has to lament, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed as crucified. And you know, you can start your Christian life by coming to that cross of Calvary and then try to feed to the Spirit through ritual and religion and religious practices. And Paul has to say to them, what went wrong? You know how you came to know God. It was there. Through that cross of Calvary, why did you go down a path of trying religious things and ceremonies that don't work? And you know, as a church, you can become foolish. And he says, who has bewitched you? Could I apply it more personally to our lives today? My son, be wise and make your father glad. I want you to think of how old you are, and I want you to think that the average age of death for a man in this country is 76 years of age. And for a woman, it's 77 and 78. That's the average death of a human being in this country of Great Britain. Think of how old you are. Do you know what the Bible says? Lord, teach me to number my days that I may have wisdom. Wisdom. Now you can live your life and it goes very fast. This month has come to an end. 1 month of this year has gone, never to have it back. What have you done for God and lived and practiced in any shape or form that may have been of benefit and extension for his kingdom, for his work, and for eternity? You can spend your next months living for this world and all your plans, but in one moment it can be gone. But you've got another world to live for. And look, it's not hard. I want you to think today. He's given you 24 hours. What could I do this day that could, just in one way, further his kingdom, exalt his name, extend his praise? And he says, you know, your days, you say, you're always in a rush. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. That's the truth of it. And there's things that one needs just to speak to you and to tell you. Do you know, you could go to someone in your pew and give them a word today that would encourage them for days and years to come, and you could be gone tomorrow. But you've known something of your days. Lord, teach me to know wisdom. Let me give you this, the third thing. And although we may have our Bibles in front of us, and you can listen to all your little sermons on YouTube, and you may be in a church and you say, you know, in our church, we're doctrinally right, and we know all our teachings, we read all the books. Do you know what the Bible says? The one who wins souls is wise. That's the real wise person. The one who's a soul winner. Telling others of Jesus, trying to bring them to God, to correct people in their ways. And that's not easy. You know, wisdom is what we need. And yet to have that, and you say, no, but that one's the fanatic. No, that one, says God, is the one who is really knowing of the value of a soul, of why Jesus Christ came, of what life is all about, what John prayed for in the beginning of the service, that people will be saved. Do you know, be wise. I'm not going to go on. I could go on far longer.